painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with a Winona area student who has recently penned his own book and gone through the journey of self-publishing. Find out what motivated this individual to write about his own experiences in college that others can learn from on today's Artbeat with Terry Tenseth. Today I have, I know you're going to find this shocking, a St. Mary's University student with me. He is a writer. He's an English major with an art minor.
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Brian Thomas, and I'm a senior, like Terry said, at St. Mary's University. And I've recently written a book for college students entitled The College Life Guide 101. I'm really hoping to really help some students out with that, and as well as answer some questions and give some just some information about it.
Well, the reason we're having you on Artbeat is because writing is an art, right?
It is.
Even if it's about college loans, what major is right for you, and yep, what's campus life like.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you bring together your artistic writing side with the structure of a book like this, a how-to manual?
And that's funny, because I've been asked this question quite a bit, I guess, because I wrote it at such a young age, and it is my major. I've been doing artistic things, writing, setting up websites, just a general kind of entrepreneurial spirit. So I've always done artistic, creative projects, and I've always wanted to write a book. And I'm kind of the person that's like, no time like the present. But anyway, so about 2 years ago, I've been working on this for quite a while. I did some research, personal research. I just talked with some of my college friends, some of college peers. And what I found was that a lot of incoming students, including myself, weren't really prepared for like the college life. And that research combined with my goal to write a book, I thought that with my personal experience as a college student, being a senior now, 3 years under my belt, and also just the overall usefulness of it, I really wanted to write something that was helpful. I mean, it's nice to write a novel, but to write about something that's really helpful to people your age, as well as helpful for myself, it was really organic to just really write and express myself artistically. It just kind of came together. I just continued to work on it for about 2 years. It took quite a while. There were some setbacks, but I just kept pushing. It's kind of difficult because the way I wanted to write it at first was just kind of advice. I wanted to give advice to future college students. But artistically, I wanted people to be able to read it and feel like they were being involved in something. So I wrote it in kind of a first person. You know, I addressed the reader directly. And I think that's a little bit more intimate, as far as most manuals or most self-help books generally kind of talk at you or talk at the reader. I didn't want the reader to feel like they were being talked at, but rather coached, or rather being given advice that's helpful.
Instead of being lectured, is what you're saying.
Instead of being lectured, yeah. That's perfect, yeah. And it did take some time, because if you're not used to writing like that, it takes some time to sort of let yourself go and be able to help.
Well, like, when you normally write, are you like science fiction, fantasy? Are you normally from real life experiences? I mean, what genre do you normally lean towards?
Well, to be honest, this is my first book. So I generally write, I wrote advice columns.
Oh, cool.
Things like that. So I've always been kind of well-versed in self-help. I mean, all my friends come to me for advice. So it was pretty natural. I am that guy. Yes, I'm that guy that gets burdened with everyone's problems, and I'm always trying to come up with a solution, or I'm always asked to come up with something.
So I see what happened. Everybody keeps asking you questions, so you're like, I'm just going to put it in writing.
Exactly. So that way I won't have to repeat myself. So yeah.
Over and over again. Mm-hmm. So you started writing at a young age. Was it like in poetry form, or when did you discover, hey, English major, that might be the way to go?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say I've always written poetry. I've always expressed myself through writing. It was more of poetry when I was in high school. I can remember a couple times I did open mic nights. It was a little scary for me. Oh. But it was something I liked to do. So about, I would say, my freshman to sophomore year, I started to notice that, I mean, I love business but hate math.
Right.
So that really wasn't going to work. And, you know, science is just far off for me. I'm just not into science. I really, you know, I appreciate and admire people who in both fields, math and science, but I'm more of a wordsmith. I really like to work with words. So I took a couple English classes and it just came really naturally. So that's when I just decided to declare an English major.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is the goal to just continue writing, or are you going to teach in life, or what are you going to...
That's the dilemma.
What's your future, sir?
That's like the ultimate college question. Yeah. I would say a little bit of both. I'm currently deciding whether I'm going to teach, which is, I think, is inevitable, especially with my major. It's pretty inevitable that I'll teach or either go into the business field and then come back to teaching. I think, like I said, with me constantly wanting to give advice, I'm eventually going to become a teacher. But my goal right now is to continue to publish. I'm working on the second edition of the College Life Guide. This is the 2012 edition.
Right.
And I'm working on a 2013 edition, which should be out in February. And since I self-published, it's just pretty natural. I just continue to write as much as I can.
Let's talk about the self-publishing thing. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go with self-publish? And then what kind of goals did you have to set for yourself to get that accomplished?
Well, self-publishing is such a prominent field right now. It's really blowing up as far as the amount of writers who decide to self-publish instead of go with a publisher, because I feel like it's a lot of red tape going through with publishers. It's a lot of things you have to do, and it's really hard getting your things published through a company that's going to distribute, and it's just really difficult. I actually tried to go through the publishing avenue, try finding a publisher. But in the end, someone gave me some advice on trying self-publishing. And once I researched it, it's fairly simple. You pretty much just put the manuscript together. I really like the amount of freedom you have. So you can design your own cover. They can design a cover. It's a lot cheaper to design your own cover. But it really just kind of came together naturally. And the goals I had to set, getting the manuscript done was probably the biggest goal. And once that goal was passed, it was getting the cover done. You have a lot more freedom, but you also have a lot more responsibility.
That's on you.
Yes.
Right. And you don't have somebody hammering you every day except for yourself, right?
True. Yeah, you really have to be very self-driven. And yeah.
You said it took about 2 years to write this?
I actually finished the manuscript about a year ago. But doing things like finishing the cover, kind of tweaking things with the text, making sure the formatting was right. I had to do all of that because I self-published. I could have used like a service. I wanted to really cut out the middleman and do it all myself. That was my own choice. So it took about a year to write and two to get everything together and package it. So 2 years.
So a major relief when it was done, and frightening probably at the same time.
Oh, goodness. Yes, because once you finish it, it's like the pressure is really on, because you have to self-promote now. You have to set up your own events, and I experienced that this summer. You have to be on top of your game. You really do.
So do you have to go to individual bookstores? Because, I mean, with a publisher, they'll go ahead and they'll try to sell the book to the different stores. So what has your experience been like?
I have approached several bookstores. What I've really found has been successful, especially when you're self-publishing, is you have to sell the book. It's not like the book is going to sell itself. Yes, this is a very useful tool, and that's kind of, I have an edge in that category because it's not fiction. It's something that's very helpful. But I would say setting up events, like setting up book signings, book presentations, because of the little niche I have, I can work with youth organizations. I can work with high schools. So it's kind of a broad market I have. I could say for self-publishers that I've talked to, or the writers that I've talked to who have self-published, it's a lot more difficult, especially when you're doing fiction or something that doesn't have a broad market.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you got inside of there, right? So tell me some of your favorite sections.
My favorite section in the book is Breaking the College Myths. I have a couple pages just dedicated to specifically breaking all the myths that freshmen come into college believing.
Like, do you mean like the freshman 15 turns into the freshman 50?
More that college is, yes, I mean, that it definitely can. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I actually had to drop a couple pounds this summer. But I would say that college is just more of a free-for-all.
Right.
Like, I actually did some little tidbits in the book about how if college was a big party, then, you know, a college application would look something like, you know, going to a party. And I actually have a party application for college students in the book. So for anyone who reads that, it's not a real application. Don't try to apply. But I definitely wanted to break those college myths. So that's my favorite. Second, I would say the financial part of it, because that's really important for college students.
Well, I can't even begin to think. I mean, I was fortunate where I had budgeted throughout life and was able to, mm-hmm. you know, exit without any loans. Mm-hmm. But not everybody, I don't think anybody can do that really anymore.
It's extremely tough.
So navigating those waters, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Mm. So how did you go about simply laying that out?
Well, a lot of it's personal experience. I definitely did my fair share of research, especially in the financial part, because I really wanted to make sure that everyone could apply it to their own situation. But handling loans is really confusing, especially when you're 18 in college and
right.
you have no idea what's going on. You have no idea, let alone going to class, but signing promissory notes for loans, or, you know, looking at interest rates and dealing with subsidized, unsubsidized loans. It's just really confusing. It goes over a lot of students' head. That's how I experienced it. So I really wrote from that perspective. And of course, I added a lot of the FAFSA stuff and just federal aid versus private aid. And I just really tried to break down how interest rates work and just everything that's really cloudy financially when you're going into college. This doesn't seem clear. I tried to make it as clear as possible.
You know what the other evil thing they used to do? Like when I came here to go to college in 99, he used to have the credit card companies on campus mm-hmm. to try to sign you up right away. I don't think they do that anymore, but...
Yeah, I think... Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I used to hear about that a lot.
Okay.
I used to hear about that. Actually, my mother, she would always tell me, you know, don't sign up for credit cards, because they actually send you a lot of credit cards in the mail. But I actually have an experience. Maybe... I mean, is it made illegal? I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I just know if you're on a college campus, mm-hmm. you already got a loan, you probably shouldn't be signing up for a credit card.
No, probably. It's probably a bad idea. I mean, I've actually just looked at my credit report, and it is, yeah, it's going to be a long post-college career as far as paying back student loans. And I just wanted every student to know that is reading my book that you have to pay those loans back, you know, especially when the loans come through that you're going to spend on other things except college, other things but college, other things besides your college education. You really shouldn't do that. You should borrow what you need and not what you want.
That's good advice right there. So the college myths, the financial part, and what part did you have the most fun writing?
I really enjoyed writing about the campus life and how to build a network, how to build those relationships, because I've really worked on that myself over the last year. I've had to, especially when you take on a project like this. I've really had to open myself up and build a network. I used to be really afraid to talk to people, or just being afraid of, you know, being denied or shut down. And that's really what college is all about, meeting new people. And I try to express that. And I think that was the most fun, because I was actually experiencing it while I was writing. So that was probably the most fun to write, the building relationships, building a network, making sure you stay in contact with the right people. That's really important for college, I think.
What I like is, you know, when you talk about a book like this and all the different things that you have in it, in college is 4 years, you think it would be a really intimidating book to get through and very thick. But let me tell you, it's not, which makes me happy. it would make most college students happy as well, too. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to pick a topic at random here. Okay.
Okay.
And then you tell me a little bit about that section.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I should know my own. We'll see.
Downfall of a college student. Procrastination. Tell me a story. Yes. Tell me a story.
Okay. It's a section in the book called The Number One Downfall of a College Student. And I honestly think it's procrastination. And everyone who has read it agrees that that's definitely, if not number one, it's definitely number two. Procrastination. I would say, besides procrastinating on this book and really finding writer's block at different times, but just those long papers. I'm actually writing a 25-page paper now, and
it's only like the second week of class.
My goodness, and I know that if I procrastinate, I won't be up for about 3 days. So that's my motivation to really take it step by step. As far as the section goes, I try to offer methods to avoid procrastination. Things like Facebook or Twitter or texting, you know, those kind of things really feed into procrastination. I just talk about taking it step by step, you know, even when you don't want to, even when you don't really want to do anything, or you don't feel like it's been tons of days where I just didn't feel it. You just wake up. It's just not your day. If you work through that, and I've worked through it, it definitely helps, and it'll pay off in the long run. I'll give you an example. About a year ago in my junior year, I had me being an English major, tons of papers all the time, and I had to write a paper on the 1600s and something that was just really, I just didn't know about it. I was not very well versed in it, and I kept putting it off. I continued to put it off, and we had about 3-4 weeks to do it. And I would just say, I'm going to do it the next day, or I set those dates. We all know that when you set those dates and then they roll around and you set another date. And I kept doing that. And it came down to, I think, the third or fourth day before it was due. And it was about a 10-page, 12-page paper. And I still hadn't done a page. It just wasn't done. And what I learned from that, I stayed up for about 72 hours writing that paper.
Oh, God.
Just coffee for days. And I learned from that, because I crashed immediately when I was done. I learned from that just if I would have just done a little bit of work, it could have definitely helped.
We've all been there and done it. I mean, I'm doing that with my house right now. but... Is it because college life has so many other, like you were saying, distractions, Facebook, Twitter, whatever? But I mean, like, you're making new friends, you're socializing, and everybody has a plan for the day, and their plan sounds way better than homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say distractions definitely play a major role in procrastination, especially with me. I mean, I love getting work done, but when it's just those days like today, a day that's really beautiful outside, and you just don't feel like staying in, or you would much rather be outside, those are the days that really hurt you in procrastination.
Do you talk about in the book ever how, like, personal relationships can kind of, you know, how to separate between, honey, it's study time and I got to do this versus honey time?
I really try to stay away from really, really personal things. But what I do talk about is friends and making sure you surround yourself with the right people, making sure that the people you're around have the same agenda as you. You're studying, they should be studying, or at least not trying to distract you from studying or trying to do homework. I mean, personally experiencing those kinds of relationships, it's difficult when you're involved or you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend who you simply would like to be around. And it's hard to do work and you're thinking about them, you know. I'm pretty sure everyone's been through that stage. But if you come to an agreement, like if you sit down and talk with who you're with, and you really express that I need to do well in this class or I need to do well this semester, and you come to an agreement that homework comes first or studying comes first, I think that'll solve that problem.
There you go.
Well, I don't know if it'll solve it, but
it might solve one problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it solves one problem, creates another, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things here too, and we just talked about the friends. Mm-hmm. Do you manage to talk about professors and different types of personalities with professors?
I do talk about professors. I discuss how to deal with them and how to build relationships, even the professors that, you know, are not very nice. I mean, you have some professors who just don't seem like they would like to talk. But if you just make that effort, if you just put the time in to really treat them as people, we sometimes forget that all of our professors have been through the same things. And if we relate to them, or in my experience, if I really sat down and had a chat, nice chat with my professor, they really looked out for me during the semester.
All right. We're going to go another route. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I am ready.
Most embarrassing college experience that you are willing to talk about on the radio. Lay it out there. I'm Dr. Phil in female form.
Oh, goodness.
And you're the patient.
Actually, yeah, I do have one. It was sophomore year. And I don't know if this is embarrassing as much as it is just awful. It's just...
Sounds great.
It just sounds, you know, that's the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Most embarrassing college experience I had. Once I was extremely ill in class. I was extremely ill. This was one of the days we had a test. I could not miss the day.
Oh, yeah.
Whatsoever. I mean, it's just the professor was not going to budge. I couldn't miss. So I went to class anyway, and I just felt awful. Just one of those days where your stomach is upset. You're just not, it's just not your day. And I was taking the test and I was finishing up and I got up to turn my paper in and all of a sudden I just overwhelming.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah. One of those. Yeah. And all of a sudden I just threw up and I didn't have time to turn. And it caught a girl right across the chin.
Wow.
And I mean, it was just, I think the class was so in shock that no one laughed. It was
right.
Just one of those moments where you
did
just,
that just happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awful. I mean, I got paper towels, you know, the whole thing trying to clean up, and I just felt terrible. So that's more gross than embarrassing, but
still, it's mortifying.
It definitely got around campus pretty fast.
I was going to say, how did you recover from that? And was there a nickname that came about?
Yes and no. I'm definitely recovering still, but it definitely stuck out in her mind. I'm not sure that's something she liked to talk about. But yeah, that was probably my most embarrassing college moment. Yeah.
Well, note to that professor.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to come in sick? I'll come in sick.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez. So now the plan is for you to kind of get out there.
Yes.
And get the word out on this book. Is there anybody that helped you along the way that you would like to mention?
Definitely Melissa Gordon. She helped me pretty much through the entire book. I actually started when I started the book and I approached her. She was on board immediately. And she helped me edit. She generally picked me up when I didn't feel so good about the project. She definitely deserves kudos. And also just the general student body at St. Mary's gave me a lot of support. The support I received at home was enormous. As always, family is extremely important, and I received a lot of support. I think the support from family came after they actually saw the book and actually saw the project. I mean, they supported me, but I mean, how many people really finish it, you know, starting
right.
It? Yeah.
And it's weird when it's your kid,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
they know you and your habits
right.
and what have you, and it's different. No, I know. I know how it is.
Yeah. So I think specifically my mom, she believed, but she really got excited when she actually saw it, that I was pursuing it and I wasn't going to stop until I finished. So Yeah, definitely my mother, family, friends at home. More now than anything because the book is actually out. But yeah, the support I received is enormous.
It sounds like your mom's kind of like an influence on you in a lot of ways, just from the way you mentioned her earlier. And she gives advice, it sounds like, mm-hmm. as well.
She is the person that keeps me grounded. She definitely gives advice. Similar to myself, I would say that's where I got it from,
yeah.
is being able to give that advice, helpful tips. Everything I pretty much embody is my mother. She, you know, has taught me a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Gotta love mom.
I gotta love mom. Mm. Okay, so the book is called The College Life Guide 101, and it's by Brian L. Thomas II.
The second.
Okay, who's the first? Is that your pops?
It is my dad. Now, okay, the thing is that it's supposed to be Junior. It is Junior, but the second sounds much more distinguished.
You know, I'm gonna agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So there's a website, right?
There is a website, collegelifeguide101.com. It is available on the website. It's also available on amazon.com. Just type in the College Life Guide, and it'll take you right there. Right now, it's on sale. It's usually $19.99, but I really want to make it affordable for college students, high school students. So it's $14.99. I mean, I take a loss, but I really think it's a helpful guide. So yeah, it's available on those two sites. I also have a Facebook, facebook.com/collegelifeguide. Also on Twitter. I know all you people tweeting out there. I'm new to Twitter, but it's definitely something that I'm getting used to. It's at collegeguide411, at Brian Thomas Jr. Definitely.
You got your hookups for the social media.
Yes.
Now there just needs to be a musical.
Yes.
And you are all set to go. Yes. Well, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Good luck on the second edition.
Thanks.
A big thank you goes out to Brian Thomas II for speaking with us today on ArtBeat about his book. More information on Brian's book can be found at www.collegelifeguide101.com. You've been listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.